Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
There was a goose at Dodger Stadium. Only in October. I'd rather see a goose at Dodger Stadium or a squirrel or a cat get loose in a ballpark than any streaker with his pink smoke bomb. So bring on the geese. Although I always remember and feel badly for the animals because you know they're terrified. With all of those people with all of that noise, they're thinking, how the hell did I end up here? How do I get out of here? Remember, they're always more afraid of us than we are of them. I tell myself that whenever I encounter a spider who threatens to take my house from me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live, of course, from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. We will check on the health of the goose, the health and well-being of the goose at Dodger Stadium when we have the opportunity. But we talked about the two National League games that finally were played on Wednesday night. Both those series are even. The American League is back in the spotlight come Thursday. And I'm wondering if we're going to get the same kind of fireworks that we had at Minute Maid Park in Houston to wrap game one between the Mariners and the Astros.
The 0-1. And Alvarez belts it deep to right field. Houston goodbye. Unbelievable. The Astros a walk-off win. Yordan Alvarez a walk-off three-run homer. And the Astros stun the Mariners in game one of the division series. Incredible.
The house of horrors for the Seattle Mariners continues as they mob Alvarez by home plate. A miraculous comeback for Houston.
Astros win it 8-7.
Well, it was exciting, all right. And once we heard it and we played it multiple times because it was so entertaining and they put every ounce of energy they had into it. Obviously, the 41,000 plus fans at Minute Maid Park went completely nutso. It was utter pandemonium. Perfect opportunity to grab a member of the Astros broadcast team, Robert Ford and Steve Sparks. They're the play-by-play voices, and I listen to them even in the dead of summer because I enjoy their broadcast, and I think that they're so much fun and obviously very competent too. And so we're pleased to welcome Steve Sparks, even getting ready now for the road trip that's upcoming. Now, still game two will be played in Houston on Thursday, but then they have to travel. So we're glad to grab a couple minutes with Steve, who's also a former big league pitcher. So, Steve, you hear the call there. What was that like for you to have that Yordan Alvarez ball just get blasted and the whole stadium go crazy?
I think it was just a buildup, Amy, more than anything else, is we're anticipating the whole time, okay, you know, we're telling the audience, Altuve's batting third this inning, and Altuve has 23 career postseason home runs. We just need a guy or two to get on base, find a way. And David Hensley, his first career postseason at bat, he finds a way to get on base. So Altuve's got a chance with the runner on. Altuve strikes out. Pena goes down two strikes, and the slider's been killing him all year long, and he's able to keep his bat, reach out, and line a single up the middle. And that whole time, we were leading up. We're saying, Yordan is on deck. There's the shadow right there. We see it right in front of us. So he gets to the plate. And then that's when the drama builds. And his broadcasters, Robert Ford and myself, were just going, oh, my gosh. We've seen him come through so many times. And then they bring in the lefty. And it just doesn't matter with Kyle Tucker or Yordan Alvarez. It just doesn't matter if it's a righty or a lefty. And if you make a bad pitch, typically those guys make them pay. You know, and coming up in big moments and being able to keep your pulse down the way he does, it looked like such a beautifully controlled swing. We couldn't contain ourselves. And Robert was out of his seat immediately. His seat flies back against this refrigerator in our broadcast booth. He's up in the air. He's screaming. I'm waiting. You know, we want to make sure that everybody can hear the crowd. It breathes as much as we can, but everybody wants to get their 2 cents in. And we did our best. We contained ourselves just enough for people to be able to understand at least what we were watching.
Could you even hear yourself think, though? Because it certainly sounded like you felt like you were drowned out by the crowd.
Yeah, there's just a vibe. We feel it on our desk. There's a vibration. You know, everybody's out of their seats. The inning percolated. It was like a massive cup of coffee or a volcano waiting to erupt. And we felt it, you know. And as we're going, it's kind of a blackout feeling, really. Robert will probably tell you the same thing. I think a lot of people watched and heard Robert's call. He was phenomenal. And he got every bit of emotion out there that I think every Astros fan was feeling at the same time.
Is it possible to encapsulate what Yordan Alvarez means to this team?
No, not really. I mean, you've heard it for a long time. And even some of the veteran players, you know, Yuli Gurriel, Ledmys Diaz, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, these guys were saying a year or two ago, this is the best hitter we've ever seen. You know, and I thought the same thing, and I faced David Ortiz a lot throughout my career, and I saw him with Minnesota and then, of course, went on to be an icon in Boston, and that's what Yordan reminded me the very first time I saw him. I mean, his body, his frame, his strike zone discipline, the way he hits the ball to all, everything reminded me of Big Poppy. So, you know, now you start to hear, and I'm talking to some of my compatriots, guys that I played against, you know, they're saying the same thing. That's Big Poppy, you know, and be able to watch him at 25 years old to be able to command the stage the way he does. It's pretty fun.
That is high praise. And with the body type and the size of both Big Poppy and Yordan, it kind of feels like every time they connect with a pitch, it should be out of the ballpark.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the exit velocity is ridiculous. I mean, we'll see all these outs and you're just going, well, that's kind of a ho-hum play. And you look at the StatCast is 111 miles per hour off his bat, just a ho-hum line out to right field. He does that stuff all the time.
Just glad he's playing baseball. We're spending a few minutes with Steve Sparks, who's one half of that Astros radio team, Robert Ford, the play-by-play. Steve, also a former big league pitcher, so we get that expertise on the broadcast. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I'd love to hear your insight on Justin Verlander. What did you see with him yesterday?
Just, you know, a little lack of command. And, you know, that happens from time to time. It was just, we saw it a couple times during the season. It didn't happen very often. He had a 1.75 ERA, so very infrequently. But he had one of those clunkers against Seattle earlier in the season. I think May 27th, gave up 4 homers, gave up 6 runs in that game. And next game actually faced Seattle and dominated. So nobody redeems himself as well as the future Hall of Famer. You know, Verlander's, I mean, he's the marquee name on this team, and everybody follows his lead. And I think it's fun to watch a lot of his interviews these days with Verlander. He's talking about he's taking the blinders off. He was out of the game for a couple of years and realized he wants to soak it in. And he said his routine's embedded enough into his psyche where he can take those blinders off and be a resource for his teammates. And he's enjoyed that. He wants to be a mentor and a good friend and a good teammate, and he feels like that little time off and having a baby and things of that nature have kind of opened his eyes a little bit. So it's fun to have this version of him around.
Considering his age, could you imagine what he had to go through as a pitcher, even if he is a freak athlete, to be able to get to this point and have the season he did again after the injury and the time away?
You know what, Amy, I had a buddy of mine watch his showcase in December. He's a scout for the Texas Rangers. And he called me and just said, hey, man, I saw Verlander throw. And keep in mind, he was a free agent. And he's throwing for all these teams. He said, I don't think I've ever seen him better.
Whoa.
You know, and he, this is a guy who, you know, played for quite a while in the big leagues, and he knew what he was watching, and he said it was the most impressive little showcase he'd ever been to. So I knew, I knew not to doubt anything that was about to come our way, and I knew that there was going to be no stone unturned as far as his rehab went and how hard he was going to work. I mean, he's a freak in that way. You know, we see guys in different sports, the Tiger Woods, the Tom Brady's and such, that play at a high level as they age. And Verlander is, you know, that combination of great talent who's been able to take advantage of technology and who's very disciplined. He's taken advantage of nutrition, sleep, and whatever it is to get a 39-year-old to go out there every 5 or 6 days and dominate.
So it's Framber Valdez in game number two coming up on Thursday. How do you like the way this rotation could stack up, considering the travel days, but also the kind of weird day off in between game one and two?
Yeah, you know, if you look forward, you know, and you're thinking who can bounce back and pitch a game five if necessary, Framber's the one who's the most likely to be able to do that. He's very strong. We saw the 25 consecutive quality starts. Which is a single season major league record he set this year. But he gets deep into the ball games and he bounces back very quickly. So he's matured very much mentally in the last couple of years. He's got a sports psychologist that's helped him through some of that. And he's very difficult for a manager. Amy, I would say, and we say this sometimes in the broadcast, very hard to take out of a ball game. And I think a lot of people understand he's probably the best ground ball inducing pitcher we've seen since Brandon Webb of the Diamondbacks probably 15, 20 years ago, 67% basically for Framber the last few years. And it's hard to take a guy like that out of any game with any circumstance because he's just one pitch away from getting a ground ball double play. So he'll get deeper into the ball games just for that fact alone.
You mentioned manager, and I'm glad you did because I was going to ask you about Dusty Baker. I've asked other people like Jeff Blum. I'm pretty sure I asked Robert about him too. Why has he been the right fit for the Astros to give them stability, but not just that, to keep them playing at the highest level?
Right. Well, the obvious answer is he came in right after the cheating scandal. And they needed a respectable person at the front. They needed a face for this organization that people respected. And Dusty was the perfect fit for that. Beyond that, I mean, it's the experience, it's the culture that he provides for the guys to be themselves. He's continued a philosophy to let young guys feel at ease in a clubhouse, and that usually, well, that wasn't the case, you know, 15, 20 years ago and all the way back. That, you know, if you're a rookie, you were to be seen, not heard. But it's not that way. You know, they make these guys feel comfortable, and that way you get the best version of those guys when they come to the big leagues. And Jeremy Pena is a perfect example of that, and he had big shoes to fill at the shortstop position for the Astros this year, but everybody put their arm around him and helped him through his first major league season, and he did great. I mean, everything about him, you know, just exuded somebody who was very comfortable in that clubhouse, and he appreciated it. He's a very humble kid anyway, but that's the type of culture that Dusty has going on in that clubhouse, and it's the freedom of the coaches to coach and the players to play, and he's comfortable enough in his own skin to let that play out.
I think similar to a Brian Snitker, that Dusty Baker would be a sentimental favorite to get that ring. Could you imagine after all these years to see him finally on the top would be amazing?
Three-time manager of the year, ninth in the all-time wins list. He's done everything. He was a great player. I mean, he can draw expertise from so many experiences he's had, but he's just a great people person. I'll tell you this. The first year that Dusty was in spring training with the Astros, they were playing in Jupiter. I think they were playing the Marlins that day, and there was a couple of guys that drove 4 hours across the state. A couple of his former players, I think it was Kurt Manwaring and maybe an infielder that he had with San Francisco, just to go and support Dusty for about 30 minutes during batting practice, just to put their arms around him, just say good luck and let everybody else there know that these are guys that played for Dusty 15, 20, 25 years ago.
Wow.
That still made an impact in their lives, and they were going to show him their support. And that really struck me as like, man, that, he made an impression on those guys.
Really good to spend a few minutes with Steve Sparks, one half of the Astros radio team and a former big league pitcher himself. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Steve, tell me if this sounds crazy. I actually feel like the Astros, even with 106 wins, the fact that they have led the American League West the whole season, essentially, I feel like they even then still flew under the radar. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think so. You know, they did it in a different fashion this year, Amy, and I think most people remembered, you know, when they were really kind of dominating their division, and they still dominated their division, but they did it offensively. And when you do it offensively, then I think it stands out more. But this team did it pitching, and you had a six-man rotation, and that allowed Verlander to recover and stay fresh throughout the season. But they dominated pitching-wise, and the lineup's not quite as deep and relentless as it's been in years past, but it's still potent. You know, and we've talked ad nauseum about Yordan, of course, but they still got a lot of guys who can beat you in different ways. But overall, it's the pitching. And a lot of times, you know, when you're talking about the seventh inning reliever or your fourth starting pitcher who's got an ERA under three, that doesn't get the headlines like some of these power hitters.
Like Aaron Judge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you can't blame them. I mean, those are the things that excite people. But the Astros, you know, one through 14 or whatever, they pitched as well as anybody this year.
So, Steve, when you think about the Mariners and the way they got into the playoffs and ended their drought, I mean, it was back-to-back walk-offs late in the season. They have a flair for the dramatic. They've got this incredible young rookie with a megawatt smile and a game to match. What impresses you about the Mariners?
You know, I remember getting in the elevator about 5 years ago with Jerry DePoto after a game, and the Astros throttled them in Seattle. And, you know, we were done. We were getting ready to go get on the bus. But DePoto was going downstairs, or he was on the elevator at the same time. And he looked at me and he said, "You guys are just too fast for us. We've just got to get more athletic." So he was, you know, that was the bar. You know, they were watching, what do we have to do to win the division? Slowly but surely. You know, you start to see the guys that they've brought in, and they've gotten guys, you know, in the bullpen who get swing and miss. You know, a couple of guys in the rotation, we'll see one of them in particular, Luis Castillo, tomorrow, swing and miss. You know, some of the things that the Astros were looking for when they put together this roster, the Mariners have done. And matchup-wise, as far as athleticism, I think they're on par. I mean, I think both of these teams very, very athletic now. And I think the only thing that the Astros probably have over Seattle at this point is experience. And when you have confidence and experience and something to draw on, I think it matters sometimes. And we saw that yesterday, of course, but that doesn't mean that anybody's going to take them for granted. Seattle's a very, very good team. They've had a great season and they have hope. You know, you're down 8-1 in that game against Toronto and you come back. Everybody in their dugout has that fresh in their memory. And you know, if they fall behind at any point, the rest of this series, they're always going to have hope. And if you have hope, you're going to always be very dangerous. But even on top of hope, they have a lot of talent.
They do. What does it mean to a clubhouse to have an infusion of talent, but also a personality like Julio Rodriguez?
Right. Yeah, it means everything. You know, and he's quickly become the face. He's the face of that franchise. He's the best player on their team. There's no question about that. And they're going to ride him for 15 years, probably, you know, and, you know, if they can keep him on the field, he's going to take them to where they want to go. There's no doubt in my mind. He's very special. He's going to be one of the most talked about enigmatic players in the game for years to come.
Before I let you go, because I know that you do have game two coming up on Thursday, when I think about this season, the lockout is a distant memory, kind of cast a shadow for months, and it was a big talking point, and there were people who swore off baseball, and that was it, I'm never going back, and honestly, it feels like all of that has faded, almost as though it was a bad dream. When you think about the state of baseball, the health of baseball this season, Steve, what's your assessment?
Well, I was thinking about that during spring training. I had an Airbnb already lined up, and I was there for I think, 3 weeks before the lockout was settled. So I was going to the ballpark, and it was me, Dusty Baker, and Gary Pettis, the Astros third base coach, the ones that are watching the minor leaguers every day. So we had a lot to talk about, but we were drawing on the last strike and what that meant and what that hangover felt like. And when we came back in 1995 after that long strike, it was brutal. I mean, the fans, you're talking about swearing off baseball. There's still people that have sworn off baseball since then that haven't come back yet. So it was a very difficult time. The players felt it for a long time until Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's consecutive game streak. There was nothing really to feel good about baseball. So that's what you were thinking about during that time, this spring. And we were hopeful, and we were hearing rumors this and that, just like everybody else, didn't really have the clear answers that we were hoping for. But we were hopeful that we weren't going to go through something similar that we did 25 years ago.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't seem like it. Most of the people that I've talked to almost don't remember that it ever happened, which is a good thing for baseball.
That's great.
Steve Sparks, one half of the Astros broadcast team. I enjoy listening to you and Robert Ford, even when it's dead of summer and I can be watching on TV. You guys are a fun listen. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It's great to catch up with you.
Thanks for having me, Amy. Always a pleasure.
They are good. If you've never heard Robert and Steve, they've been working together now for a decade, so they have a great rapport, and they're just fun. You've got baseball announcers who know how to make it a fun listening experience, even though, I've used this stat before, in a three-hour baseball game, only 6.5 minutes is actual play-by-play. The rest is stories and stats and perspective and setup. It's just, it's not the same as basketball, which is nonstop, or football, which at least has stretches of intensity, even if there is more downtime, too. All right, you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. We haven't yet revealed to you the TD of the week. We ran out of time last night, so we didn't have a chance to do that. Also, if you are ready for week number 6, well, we've got the latest in QB news, because a lot of the quarterbacks speak on Wednesdays. It's required by the NFL for certain players, and obviously the coaches that have to speak on particular days coming out of one football weekend going into the next. We've still got our sad sap of the week and the show question of the night. Trust me, you've not ever heard this one on our show before. We like to keep you on your toes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Finding the perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding one that's perfect for you is easy with Indochino. Choose your design and custom details. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And shop their new fall collection for seasonal styles. Find your perfect suit with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.
It's on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown.
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown. Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown. Center's helping into the end zone. Touchdown.
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week. the Buffalo Bills.
Snap. Josh handles it. Back to throw. Pocket collapsing. Fires a deep one downfield looking for Gabe Davis. Makes the catch at midfield. He's going to sail into the end zone. Gabe Davis at the 20, at the 10. Touchdown. Holy mackerel. 98 yards. Touchdown. Gabe Davis on 3rd and 10 at their own 2. That's the way to start. Holy mackerel.
Obviously, they on that first 3rd down, they doubled both of them. They both doubled Steph and Gabe. From what I saw the safety go this way. Saw two guys kind of sitting here playing the sticks a little bit, and Gabe just, did his thing and ran and gave him a chance to go make a play, and he did.
Josh Allen saw the opportunity, and he seized the day. First drive of the game for the Bills against the Steelers, and that was just the beginning. There was much more to come. In fact, they were up 31-3 at the half, and Gabe Davis himself had, what is it, like 200 yards receiving and had a couple of touchdowns, and both of them fairly acrobatic. It was an overwhelming choice by you for TD of the week on both of our social media sites. As always, our polls originate from our show Twitter account, After Hours CBS. And if you haven't seen the phenomenal defense, the leather being flashed by Dansby Swanson and Austin Riley of the Braves, two separate videos, we've got them up on our show Twitter and our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So I thought, since we're really quick here, and also since we have Marco... Marco and I are about the same age. I think we talked about this before, but we're the same gen.
I think so.
Yes. Jay is not the same gen as us.
I don't think so.
So, Jay, are you technically a millennial?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay, well.
Yeah, no, he's definitely.
There went a beautiful relationship. Okay, so I was, yeah, I know, I'm pretty sure millennials are ruining the world. But I'm teasing. Oh, my God.
I'm with you, Jay. I'm just an old man, but I'm with you.
So it wasn't that long ago that Jay and I somehow ended up in this discussion about how people respond to text messages with, or and it could be a Facebook message. I don't use Facebook message much, but people respond to DMs, that kind of thing, with a thumbs up emoji, right? Mm-hmm. Like that to me seems so dismissive and rude. And also it could be interpreted a bunch of different ways, but sometimes that's all people say. I'll send them a big long text message and I just get a thumbs up in response. And it's not just men. I mean, that would be stereotypical, but I think more men probably do it than women. But I even get that from a couple of female friends now and then. And it annoys the crap out of me. By the way, I just want you all to know that after I talked about this on the air, a bunch of my friends who I didn't previously realize listened to the show sent me, they ha 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 with the thumbs up emoji because they were listening. Anyway, there's a new study that was done among thousands of young people between 16 and 29. So, Jay, that doesn't even include you.
Not anymore.
Sorry. A bunch of young people between ages 16 and 29, and that would be Gen Z. That's what you are. You're Gen Z. Apparently, the younger generation also thinks the thumbs up emoji is rude and passive aggressive. So a couple of other things. Well, some of these users are saying, because it's confusing, it could mean a number of different things. It could be a yes. It could just be, hey, I got your message, whatever. I mean, I just think it's annoying. If that's all you have to say as a response to a message, it just seems very dismissive, in my opinion, is, hey, this conversation's over kind of a thing.
It doesn't bother me. I don't use emojis of any kind. That's just
Oh, you're missing out.
Yeah, it's not my thing.
Lots of animal emojis. Much fun.
Yeah, smiley faces and all that nonsense. I don't do that stuff. That's me.
Because you don't smile.
Rarely. If I had a lot of people give me the thumb, I usually admit it's something where the conversation is pretty much done. It's almost like, instead of saying got it, they're just giving you a thumbs. It doesn't bother me.
Well, it bothers Gen Z that gets their feelings hurt over everything, ages 16 to 29. They're very sensitive. And so they apparently think it's passive aggressive, but also it's rude. Now listen to this. Emojis probably won't surprise you. Are more likely to be used by those over 35. Okay, so that would include both Marco and I. We're both over 35. Jay's not, but I will just say for Jay, did you tell me that you use more emojis when you text with me because I do it, or?
No, I use them. I won't lie.
You use them with your other friends?
Yeah, I use them.
Who are a lot of guys, not all guys, but a lot of guys.
Yeah, maybe not as much, but I do use them.
All right, so Jay also uses emojis, even though he's not quite 35. But apparently these young people also think that if you use them in the workplace, that you are, it's very alienating. They don't feel included if you use emojis in a workplace, which I, the only people I use would be with Jay, but we're friends in addition to being, like you. I feel like I've probably used a couple emojis and texts to you.
Probably.
But you have a flip phone, though, don't you? Or did you finally get a smartphone?
No, I don't have a flip
phone. But you used to when I first met you.
10 years ago, yes, I did.
Yes, okay.
Yes, I did.
So anyway, there's more, though. And this is the part that I find highly amusing. This won't apply to Marco since he's already indicated he does not use emojis. But producer Jay, are you ready? The top 10 most offensive emojis, according to young people, the ones that indicate that you're old, essentially. So this is, again, according to the thousands of young people ages 16 to 29. These are the emojis that they said, A, mean that you're old because our generation doesn't use them, and B, that they find to be offensive. And I don't know why, because I'm not a 16-year-old, but you know what I said about them. So these are some of the ones that they feel like indicate that you're not part of their generation. The thumbs up emoji, which we just talked about. The red heart emoji. Okay, that's one of my favorites. That's in my top three. I use the red heart emoji all the time. I'm clearly old. I've already told you all that. The okay hand. I've never once used either the thumbs up or the okay symbol either. Jay uses the okay symbol every now and then.
Yeah, but only to when I'm describing something as like being perfect or being like really good. I'll never just use that as like a okay, like conversation ender. So it'll always be in context for like, oh, like very nice, like emphasis on the nice.
What's the green tick? I don't know what that is. The
check mark?
Is it a check mark?
Oh, yeah, probably.
My gosh, that's so hard to find in my list of emojis. It's not even one that pops up right away. So my smartphone, my Galaxy S10e, has, no joke, thousands of emojis. And if you have to search through the emojis, I give up. Green tick. That's weird. Okay.
I'm just taking a guess here. That makes sense to me.
All right.
It would be the check mark.
I think that's right.
Here's more. The 10 most offensive emojis, which is really funny. The ones that mean that you're old. The monkey covering his eyes. I've used that one before, but I wouldn't say it's in my top three. But I have used it before. The clapping hands. I've never used that one. Is that the one that has the, like, parentheses?
That one's aggressive.
I don't like that one at all. I think that one's stupid.
I don't know that one.
The way that it indicates motion is it's got those two kind of almost like parentheses on the side. You know how it indicates motion?
It's kind of like a get your ass in gear, like now I see that one.
Oh, really? That's
all
what
right.
you think?
Yeah.
I just thought it was like applause.
No, I see it as like get, you know, pick it up.
This is one that I've never used in my life, and I wouldn't, because I would agree that it's way too extra and aggressive. The lipstick kiss mark. Yeah, no, that's ew.
Yeah, that's weird.
No, that is weird. Okay, so maybe I'm not quite as old as I thought. The grimacing face. Which one is that one?
Is that the one with the where it's showing all of his teeth?
No, that's a smiley one. I mean, that's like smiling with all your teeth.
Like a smirking one?
Grimacing face. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what that one is. I do love the eye roll emoji, so I hope it's not that one. Okay, here's another one that makes you look old. Are you Googling it so we know which one is the grimacing face?
It comes up as the one with the teeth, one of my actual favorite ones, which is...
Oh, dear. We're going to have to...
Wow, does that make me?
We're going to have to pivot, Jay. The loud crying face. So not the one with the teardrop, but the one where you've got, like, tears streaming down your face. Oh, I've definitely used that one. I don't know if it's in my top three, but I've used that a lot. I'm so old. Now, are you ready? There's more. This is... I don't know why this makes people old, but did you know the... Well, it's the emoji that looks like chocolate ice cream, but it's not chocolate ice cream, with the eyeballs.
The poop?
Uh-huh. Essentially, it's poop with eyeballs.
Okay.
Just wait until your son gets a phone. That's going to be his favorite.
We have that as a pillow in the house. Why? I don't know. I saw it on the couch once. I was like, why is this here?
Did you know where it came from? You knew it was an emoji?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't use them. Have I seen them? Sure. People send me stuff all the time, but I just don't go to these things.
I mean, according to thousands of young people, if you use the poop emoji, you're old.
Yeah. Look.
Look.
Being old, I'll say this, but I'm around enough young people, if you will.
Me too.
Anything that you do makes you old. So it's cool. Like, it's just take it. It is what it is. Yeah. If you're older than them, they look at you as
that's
old.
True.
So anything
that's
that you
true.
Say or do makes you old.
That's
own it.
Interesting. So, again, this is a poll of Gen Zers, and they listed these 10 emojis as the ones that make you look old and out of touch. That part that's even funnier. You're out of touch if you use the poop emoji. Do you know I once sat in my elementary school classroom at church and asked the kiddos, they brought it up. We had a whole conversation about whether or not that was ice cream or poop. They were sure it was poop. So if a first grader knows all about that, why does that make us old and out of touch? And by us, I don't mean you. I just mean anyone.
No, throw me in there. I'm cool. I see, again, own it. No, like, I don't know. I will say this, though. It's always funny to me, like, you know, offensive or what. Like, we really have to, like, study, like, the emojis that come back in the text. Jeez. Like,
yes.
Who's got time for this kind of stuff?
I think it's offensive for Gen Z to call people out of touch. Right? I thought it was all let everyone do what they want to do. Now you call people out of touch?
Millennials are out of touch. Do anything that makes you happy. Gen Z didn't get that memo. So in light of all of that, now this doesn't apply to Marco, and actually Jay and I took the quiz earlier, meaning like I had to identify his top three emojis and he had to identify mine, which is actually kind of funny. But we want to know the top three emojis that you use. And if it makes you old, then whatevs. That's our question for tonight.
Own it.
Yeah, exactly. Own it. I'm gonna reply because I know my top three emojis. One of them's not even on there. I'm kind of proud of that. Anyway, what are the top three emojis that you use in conversation? And if you're a Gen Zer, well, you know what? Emojis are okay. If it makes you happy, you can use an emoji. We're okay with it.
All right, Cheryl Crow. But I would say this. What makes me really old is I'm the one that actually uses commas and periods
in
text.
So yeah, see, what's
that
better?
Apparently
using emojis or not knowing how to spell? Using acronyms for everything because Gen Z, that's your bleeping problem. You can't spell anything. Oh, my gosh.
The acronyms, I won't say that makes me, I just confused. I don't know all of them. So when I get them back, I'm always kind of like, wait, which one is this one?
Jay's happy to help. He's constantly telling me what his acronyms mean I'm so old and dumb.
I'll be fair. Just there's a lot of time. If I don't understand it, there's a good chance I'm not responding to you just because I don't care enough to ask you what it is and
thumbs
I don't know what
emoji.
It is. Yeah, you're not going to get that either. Yeah, you know, there's a good chance you're not going to get a response at that point. Then if you come back to me and it's like, all right, well, what do you want? Like, what do you need? Because I don't know what this means.
I don't know what this means. All right, so that was fun. Top three emojis that you use, and there's no judgment here. If you...
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Appear to be old or out of touch. I mean, you're right in lockstep with me.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's the NBA, professional sports. These things happen. Nobody likes it. We don't condone it, but it happened. Draymond apologized to the team this morning. Jordan was there in the room. I was there in the room. The team, the coaches, the players.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Bob Myers, general manager of the Golden State Warriors. And no, I'm not going to break down the Warriors' chances of repeating as NBA title holders. I'm not going to talk about preseason action. But I do think it's fascinating the way that teams have to close ranks or have to be careful of even their own internal video and audio in 2022. And this is just an example. It's not the only example. This is not an indictment or an excuse for Rachel Nichols. But she was also exposed by a member of her own company, right? So you no longer can trust everyone, even inside your own building. Again, I'm not saying that it excuses people who do things or say things that are inflammatory or deserve to be disciplined, but it should still be internal. That's the part that bothers me the most about this Warrior situation. If you've ever played sports, and I don't mean sports at the professional level, but certainly there are people out there who've played sports at the professional level, tempers run hot. Especially in the preseason, and I can draw my own experience here, because I can tell you the number of times that my teammates and I in college were so flipping tired of playing against one another. And the worst thing about, say, two-a-days or long preseason stretches where you're only battling against your own teammates is that they all know the plays too. And so they cheat, or it's impossible to be successful because you're playing against people who already know what's coming. But just at the end of a preseason, which is where the Warriors are, they've already traveled to the Far East. They've been together for quite a while. They're just tired of facing against each other, battling against each other. They're tired of seeing each other. You want to see somebody else. You don't want to see your own teammates. Both Jordan Poole and Draymond Green are fiery. I'm not excusing Draymond. I haven't even watched the video because that's how strongly I feel about a video being leaked internally. I don't want to see it. I don't want to contribute to that. I'm not telling you that Draymond Green didn't do anything wrong. I generally don't believe it's ever a good idea to be punching people, especially not those who are on your side. And he's been away from the team since this altercation with Jordan Poole that goes back now a week. And we hear from Steve Kerr that they did not suspend Draymond. And actually, as he comes back to the team, they're ready to clear the air.
We feel like this is the best way, after assessing everything, for us to move forward. It's never easy, no matter what decision you make in a situation like this. It's not going to be perfect. This is the biggest crisis that we've ever had since I've been coach here. It's really serious stuff. We would hope that we've developed enough equity, you know, with the experience we have with our fan base, with the people watching over the last decade, that people can trust us, that we've really put a lot of thought into this decision. And as I said, we feel like this is the best way for us to move forward. Jordan and Draymond got together and had a great discussion that I think will help us move forward.
They are fining him. They're not suspending him. Jordan wants to move forward. Steph Curry has been vital in the process of communication and trying to keep everybody together. Again, I'm not excusing Draymond's behavior. We know that this is the potential for him when he runs hot. Same as Aaron Donald, though, in the joint practice where the video was out there, and I know the media had access to it, but in this case, we're talking about an internal practice. There should have been no outsiders. There should have been no eyeballs. There should have been no one who sent this to TMZ. That actually bothers me more than an incident between two players that they handle internally and that I believe is going to make them stronger as a team. It's just, there's nothing sacred now anymore, because if people can sell a video and make a buck, that's what they're going to do, and teams have to know it. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game, our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Some fans gear up for game day, but some fans follow their team every day. That's why the Locked On Podcast Network has a daily podcast for your favorite NBA team. Every trade, every overtime win, every game. Our local experts cover the biggest stories around your team every day. Search Locked On plus your favorite NBA team on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Find your perfect fall suit with Indochino. Customize every detail of their seasonal designs for a one-of-a-kind look at a great price. And get $50 off purchases of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.